Welcome to Moonshine Murmurs, a podcast from Stillhouse Press. Thank you for joining us as we interview our authors about their writing and process as artists. We're so glad you're here. You can find more about our press and the books discussed in this episode at our website, stillhousepress.org.
Hi, listeners. Welcome to the Stillhouse Press podcast, Moonshine Murmurs. My name is Carol Mitchell, and in this episode, I'll be speaking with Michael Dawn, Billy Howell, and Erica Ostergaard, founders and organizers of Fox City Lit Reading Series in Fairfax City, Virginia. Welcome to you all. So I'm going to start by telling you a little bit about each of them. It's the first time I'm doing a podcast with three people, so this is going to be really interesting and hopefully a lot of fun. So Erica Ostergaard is a cybersecurity project manager, costumer, and poet, currently working on a collection of poetry and an historical fiction novel. You can follow her adventures on Instagram at Ostergaard1of4. So welcome, Erica.
Hi, nice to be on a podcast. I've never done this before.
Well, welcome. We're happy to have you. Billy Howell is a member of the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma and an associate professor of English at George Mason. He has written lots of stories and essays, some of which are true. Welcome, Billy.
Hi, Carol. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. And Michael Dawn is the author of the story collection Partners and Strangers, published by Carnegie Mellon University Press, and the co-editor of Kikweto, a journal of East African literature. He teaches in the English department at George Mason University. Michael may have to step out before we get finished, but hopefully that won't happen. But welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Carol. Great to be on with you.
Thanks. And a little bit about me. I'm an author. My latest book, What Start Bad a Morning, was released in 2023 with Central Avenue Publishing. More relevantly, I'm a professor at George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia, and a managing editor at Stillhouse Press, which is an amazing student-run press affiliated with George Mason University. And this Moonshine Murmurs is a part of what we do at Stillhouse Press. So welcome everyone to the podcast. So first of all, as I mentioned, you're all involved with Fox City Lit Reading Series. So tell us a little bit about that. How did it come about, the name, anything that you would like to say about it?
Michael, I think you took the initiative to get us together in the first place. Maybe you should kick things off here.
I don't even know if that's true. I feel like I was going to say there's probably like three different versions of like how this all came together, because I don't think there was one moment or anything. But sure, Billy, you're passing it to me. I'll start and then you guys can tell your version. So, I mean, I moved to Fairfax in 2021 and I met Billy first as a colleague. Our offices are right next to each other and we just kind of started hanging out, having some coffees. And then, of course, I met Erica through Billy and we all started going to some different readings together in the greater DMV area. And from there, I don't even know what happened, but somehow we started to get some energy to put something together and felt that all three of us live in Fairfax City. We have this kind of charming little downtown in Fairfax City next to George Mason University. And it just kind of felt like, hey, we're going to all these readings in DC. Why not bring something to our neck of the woods? But I'm sure there's way more things that happened. And that's the really kind of brief version. So let's see what Billy and Erica have to say.
Actually, I don't think there was a lot of anything else. I think we were carpooling into DC at least once a month for some really great readings. You know, we love going to the Quintana Salon that Andrea Bertana hosts, and we were hitting up the Inner Loop as well. But Michael has kids and we have rabbits, and driving into DC from Fairfax isn't the biggest trek, but doing it multiple times a month on weeknights or even Saturday nights, we're like, why isn't there something out here? Organizationally, I think Michael's totally on the money. We just one day in the car decided, oh, wow, it would be cool if we just did something like this in our town.
I do recall a certain afternoon at Commonwealth where we spent about 2 hours on a patio brainstorming what we should call the series, how we would have people read, what kind of numbers we wanted. A lot of the DC series are monthly, and we really wanted something that was more laid back. And so we decided on a seasonal reading series. And I think we spent about 2 hours brainstorming slogans mostly. Make writing foxy again. Tons of great things that ended up in the trash bin,
Yeah,
but
it was actually Michael's wife, I think, who came up with the name.
oh yeah, can you tell us about Sophia's?
Yeah, I think if I recall, we were driving, kids in the back, probably crying or just being normal kids doing loud stuff. And my spouse and I were trying to have a conversation. I was like, hey, we need a name for this series we're trying to start. And I kept saying really stupid things, like really bad ideas. And then finally, she was just like, why don't you just call it Fox City? And I don't know why that was so easily accessible to her. And so the idea was that Fairfax City, where the reading series takes place, their official mascot is the Fox as of 2021 or 2022. And so it had a good ring to it. I texted Billy and Erica, and they seemed excited right away. So I don't know why it kind of popped into her head so easily, but she had it ready for us. So
Yeah, it seemed
thank
like a
you.
really good representation of this
Yeah.
local area. I mean, I know that we moved here just before the pandemic, right in downtown Fairfax City. And the first year we were here, there was a red fox that just ran up and down the sidewalk outside of our place every day.
It was cool.
Yeah, so there's a den somewhere nearby. And also I believe at one point Sophia may have told us that Fairfax had historically been known as Fox City through slang, though.
Yeah, is that
Did
accurate
you?
or was she just making that up? She might have just been saying that to give us more credence.
Yeah, I think it's
She
in
should do
general.
stuff like that
Yeah.
sometimes, you know.
I googled it. There
Yeah.
doesn't seem to be a lot of evidence, but she's
Yeah.
local of the three of us. You know, all three of us are transplants to the area, so we gotta trust her.
Don't think she's any more local than us. She grew up in Central New York.
That's closer than us, though, I think. Yeah.
Erica is the
I
closest.
personally think that Fox City Lit is a great name. I mean, I live in Fairfax and there are so many foxes around. And it's also, you know, I like the idea of, you know, foxy, and it just really creates a nice atmosphere, I think. I didn't think of that link between Fairfax and foxes, and then the F and the X. I mean, there's so many things going on there. Like, it's a perfect name for a Fairfax City reading series. And I also wanted to say that one of the things I appreciate a lot about it is the location, because I also go into DC to some of those reading series that you mentioned. Inner Loop is a big one for me. They've been really supportive of my work, but it's always a trek. It takes me at least an hour in the evenings to get there sometimes. And so it was really wonderful to find something in Fairfax, which is such a beautiful city and so charming and just a great place for literary events. So I guess one of the things that I think about, or that our listeners might be thinking about as well, is the whole idea of, like, why do we need reading series? What do you want the people who come to get out of it?
Personally, I find it just really important to hear work that's in progress or to hear people read things that they're working on, because I think we as writers get inundated with really polished, worked over, edited writing that can be discouraging because you're not seeing those 30 or 40 drafts somebody went through before publication. And so being able to create an environment where people feel free to just get together and share something they're working on that's in progress, maybe something they've published and they're proud of, to hear a variety of voices and to get a diversity of aesthetics together that are held together by location. It's amazing to me to see how many different styles of writing come from writers who all live just in the DMV in this same 30-mile radius area.
For me, I had a resolution last year to make new friends, and this has been the number one most effective way I have ever made friends. I've made so many friends just talking to people about writing and being like, "Oh, hey, do you want to come talk about writing on this day with us?" It opens a lot of doors to finding that community that I think, you know, as Billy said, we moved to Fairfax right before the pandemic.
Our first year was pretty much just in lockdown. And we had moved from Tacoma Park, where we had been able to hop on a metro, go out through the city, attend events really easily. And then being here close to the university, I was kind of surprised by, even after the pandemic, after the lockdowns let up, how little engagement there was between the university and the city less than a mile away. So we wanted to try and foster more connections there and create more of an opportunity for students to see the downtown area, to reach out from the city side, the way that Stillhouse Press and a lot of the GMU Watershed Lit programs reach out from the university side and Fall for the Book organization events downtown in downtown Fairfax are a great example of that. But also that tends to make it seem like the university is just visiting town, and we want to increase that integration and have more of a feeling of being local and laid back with students and even other writers and professors and non-students and locals who just love writing and reading and want to get together.
I'll add to all that, just like the idea of seeing living writers. One of the cool things for me, at least with our first event that we had, I invited a bunch of people that are just like friends and neighbors from the community. And not all of these people are actually like writers or part of the literary community who came out to it. And I think that was really like just getting some feedback from them. It was a really interesting for them to actually, these are all people who read, but they're not engaging with writers every day like we all are. And so to actually see people read from their books or read from their work in progress, as Billy says, is just another cool aspect to all of this. There's space for the literary community to kind of expand and get some of those people who are, they value literature, they value writing, or local writers, but they're not necessarily seeing them or hearing from them directly without a reading series like this.
Yeah, Michael, you and I both had talked about before the fact that coming from these kind of small Midwestern colleges where we taught in the past, those were towns where the town and the university had such a close relationship that you would have regular readings or writing groups just at the businesses around town, at a coffee shop or at a bar in the afternoon. I know that in the town that I taught in Stillwater back when I was at Oklahoma State, there was a coffee shop where every morning, if you went in, you would find somebody working on a novel or working on a script for a short film that they're writing. And there was one bar directly across from the English building. So on a weekday, you could be pretty sure that you'd run into a graduate poet or a fiction professor or somebody there. And it was very encouraging to have that community to feel like we're all in this together. We're all working on things. We're all going to get this out there in the world.
Yeah, and I love that. I mean, I really do think that one of the experiences that I have had with reading series is this whole idea that it's not just for writers or people who are actually doing that work, but it's really for the community to come out and interact with a different group of people. It's so meaningful for me, you know, to read to the wider community and have them experience writing from a different perspective and hearing things read aloud. It's such a beautiful thing, especially hearing it read by the author, the way that they are hearing it in their head. It's, you know, very special and meaningful experience to have. You mentioned when you were teaching at another college, Billy, and you were talking about the location. And I wonder if you all would like to talk a little bit about the location of the Fox City Lit reading series, because it's so amazing.
And we are currently waiting for confirmation that it can be in that spot again on February 2nd.
Now, we've been very lucky for the first readings we've organized last summer and fall that in downtown Fairfax, there's a small bar restaurant called Old Fire Station Number 3 that had been an institution for all of the locals for decades. And it went under, actually. The owner unfortunately passed away several years ago. And it sat empty for a while. And then this local entrepreneur, Tony, reopened it and revamped it and remodeled. And after going around town and talking to a lot of the business owners to look at our options for spaces to host readings, he said, well, maybe you might want to look at our upstairs room, and led me up these strange stairs off to one side.
No idea there was an upstairs
Had
room.
no idea. Years I'd been going there. And
But let's not mince words. It is a sticky floor dive bar with $1 beer on
on
Tuesdays.
Tuesdays, yeah, it starts at a dollar and it goes up by a dollar an hour, I think, throughout the day. So that is amazing dive bar that we have here. And on certain days, they apparently host some sort of like
EDM.
disco EDM dance thing upstairs. So they have this upstairs space that's covered with fake clouds made out of,
Are they called pillow clouds?
And all this cotton stuffing just glued to the ceiling, like a disco ball and some lights and stuff that we haven't broken out for the reading yet, but I
We
don't know if there's.
totally should. It's not a disco ball. It's one of those circular lights with multicolored lights that shine out of it at all different angles, like you would have at a middle school dance.
Or in the opening scene of Blade. It's got that underground sort of rave feel. Maybe that's just me. I
Yeah.
don't know.
Well, it's perfect. It's a flawless location.
Thank
I wouldn't change anything, and your description was spot on.
you.
Particularly flawless because we also get to use the space for free.
Yes.
That's really a big sell, I'm sure.
And we
But no,
do
it's
everyone.
perfect. It's eclectic and it's fun, and it makes me, when I'm up there, I feel, like I'm in a special place where there's something creative and something exciting is going to happen up here. And I think it adds a lot of atmosphere to the readings. And maybe, for the disco ball, maybe you need a themed event. Where
I
you're like,
think
okay,
that's
we're gonna be reading things that go with disco balls, so
I think that's a good point though about the creative energy that it adds, because different from college towns where Billy and I have lived in and been to many readings in college towns, there's not so many funky spaces in Northern Virginia. At least I haven't come across many. We lack a little bit in funk in terms of spaces. And yeah, I think you're spot on, Carol. It's unique in that way.
So, speaking about uniqueness, what are some of the memorable events you've had, like connected to Fox City Lit or other reading series that have drawn you into this whole idea of building community around sharing literature?
I think Michael's experience was our actual model for Fox City.
Yeah, your experience back in Illinois that you talked about.
Yeah, I helped organize a series that a writer by the name of Aaron Birch started at the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana back in, I don't know when he started it, maybe 2008 or 2009. And the model is basically just weekend afternoon at a bar, super casual. He would introduce readers with like a song, but we're not doing that. But yeah, I think for me that model was really fun. Like it was called Stories and Beer, and obviously it was also poems and wine and hard alcohol, but that's too long of a name for a reading series. And yeah, it was just a great series that everyone loved, integrated well into the community, just showed up at a bar 3 or 4 o'clock on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon, and people would show up and integrated well with like the MFA community. And I don't know, everyone always seemed to have a good time. People looked forward to it. So I think, I don't know if I'm speaking accurately for everyone, but we just want to like have a good time, just set up shop somewhere for a couple hours where people are coming and looking forward to it, not like a dreaded obligatory literary event that we've all been to those too. So that's like my foundational experience that, I guess somewhat have used as a model, but have of course made it our own.
A lot about that model too is the way that there's this sense of this is a community, you just drop in. We are going to be reading things and talking about writing before and after. Back when I was in grad school, my friend Phil Estes, who's a poet, organized a reading series that he called Bunkinitis. And he knew a lot of poets who were traveling around or passing through Oklahoma, or people like Ken Haydon and Baird Gottsaave, who taught it other universities in Oklahoma. And they would come up and we would spend an hour and a half just relaxing at a nearby bar and then go to one of the grad students' houses. And everybody would sit around the house. It was easier in Oklahoma because you could rent like 1,000 square foot house for $200 a month back in those days. So that's a totally different economy out there. No way I'd want to cram everybody into my tiny condo living room, probably, but I guess we'll see if we get our venue again for February.
It'll be intimate
Yeah.
and have rabbits.
That sounds like a great atmosphere as well. Something
Yeah.
great talking points.
Yeah.
So what about you, Erica? Have you had an experience with re reading series that kind of maybe encouraged you to do this one, or something that has happened at Fox City Lit that really stood out to you?
Well, in Fox City Lit, we haven't had too many experiences yet. We're still very, very young, which is exciting and frightening. But yeah, my college experience, I don't have an MFA like these two distinguished gentlemen. I have a degree from the devil, that's a JD, and there was nothing fun at all about my grad school experience. But I had fond memories of my undergrad experience, which was at a liberal arts college in the mountains of West Virginia. And we didn't have any kind of formal reading series. We just had a coffee shop and a restaurant. And we would all just kind of congregate somewhere in the middle of town and be like, oh, hey, want to go do blobbity blue? And then we would all just trek there and have a reading. And often it was so spontaneous that people wouldn't have things prepared. So it also ended up being like a lot of weird slam poetry or moth style storytelling. So I'm a very self-conscious person these days, post law school. So I don't think I would ever be able to do anything contemporaneous like that. But I'd love to see Fox City maybe like invite somebody to do contemporaneous poetry or fiction or memoir even.
And I think this brings up an interesting point. I think Michael and I talked about this a couple of years ago. There's this real motivation we've been feeling a need for that at a certain point, writing has felt like a self-conscious act. It's felt more like in our own work, a little more stunted or a little more like we are self-surveilling in ways that are negative, and it's stripped it of a lot of the fun. So one of the main goals here is like we're not hosting Fox City readings for people to like show off how good their poetry is to each other, or something like that. It's there to remind us that writing is fun. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be a really weird pursuit where you just like go down some rabbit holes about whatever you're obsessing over at the moment and see what kind of strange associations your brain makes as you put words on paper.
That's beautiful, babe.
No, I agree. I agree. I think that's a great objective and a great way to put it. And I did get that sense when I was at Fox City Lit of it being fun and it being relaxed and a place where, I read there and I didn't feel that it had to be something that was perfect or, and you have an audience that's there to cheer you on and to really help, is rooting for you to succeed and to do a good job in presenting whatever it is that you're presenting. So yeah, I think that you've achieved some of that atmosphere for sure. And I wouldn't also like you, Erica, I would not participate, but I love the idea of a contemporary event where with the strobe lights, where people are and I think you could really get it going and get people coming up and just sharing and joining in. And to get back to the whole community thing, maybe even getting a few people who don't consider themselves writers to get up and share whatever they're thinking about that's sort of generated from what has happened before. I think that could be a really amazing event. So think about
I think with the strobe lights, really anything could happen. I mean, I think
it.
possibilities are just limitless. So,
You turn on the strobe lights, it's kind
yeah.
of out of control. We got to make sure that like no laws are broken.
It's not even just the strobe lights. You've seen how big those speakers are. The room is small enough and intimate enough that you don't need speakers, and everybody in every part of the room can hear. But they have these gigantic, I guess for the EDM dancers, gigantic speakers that are like bigger than my body that I
Oh,
don't
yeah.
know.
If we ever set up a microphone system in there, it would get out of control real
Yeah.
fast. Also, not to just oversell Old Fire Station like crazy, something we've learned in looking at other spaces and talking to people about Fox City Lit reading series is that all of downtown Old Town Fairfax has a lot of great venues that are strange and quirky in their own ways. Patriots has a private room we might use at some point, and that's maybe the diviest bar in downtown
And
I know of.
that's contingent on whether or not an old man challenges me to another arm wrestle.
That's true. That was the last time we were there. Erica got some pretty aggressive elderly men who questioned why should you teach English? But also there's McKinsey's has a great stage space that we've been offered. Old Shebeen is a college favorite, I know, for the undergrads. And I actually went to a great moth style story slam last winter, I think it was, in the basement there. There's an organization in Vienna that organizes moth style storytelling.
That's really interesting. I mean,
Yep.
I think Fairfax City, as I may have mentioned before, it's very charming, and I'm sure that there are many places that it's possible to do something like this. And I do think that a place where somebody's like, "Oh, why do you need to teach English?" is a great place to have a reading series because
Yeah.
maybe you might influence their thinking a little bit. Who knows?
And then we can integrate arm wrestling into the series, you know?
I'm down for that.
Yeah. And in the background on TVs, we could have like a TV in the background just on silent, playing the movie Over the Top, where Sylvester Stallone wins back his lost child through the power of truck driver arm wrestling. If you haven't seen Over the Top, it's worth a watch. It's terrible.
So we were talking about the genesis of this reading series earlier. This is how Billy and I interact at all times. Have a bazillion ideas, and all of them are perfect and brilliant, and no notes are required. Thank you. Michael, on the other hand, was like, "All right, this is fun, guys, but like, we actually have to book a place."
He keeps us responsible, keeps
We
us honest.
call him our kick in the pants.
I wrote that down in a notebook. In the structure, the hierarchy of the organization, Michael is officially kicking the pants.
Am I able to apply for a new position?
It's an important role, Michael. I think you should stick with
Yeah.
it.
Yeah. I've been the KIP many times in my life, and I might want to like evolve.
You were talking earlier about a conversation with your wife where you were throwing out kind of crazy ideas for the name. So it feels like the roles sort of evolve,
Yeah.
but it's rotating. I'm sure.
Depends on who's in the room. Just a
Exactly. Exactly.
dynamic shift. Yeah, my role is different here. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about the process that you go through, or how can someone get on to become a reader at the Fox City Lit reading series?
I'll start with this, I guess. I'm not sure we necessarily have like an official process yet, but anyone who is interested is absolutely welcome to write to us, or even better, just come to an event and talk to us, and then we'll, you know, have you on our list. We kind of have like a master list of some writers that we know or friends with or have heard read at other series. And, you know, we're also very interested in connecting with Mason grad students and even undergrads. So I think our process as of now is just we try to invite kind of a balanced group based on genre and other things. And also, we're completely open to people coming to us. I hope I answered that accurately, but let's see what Billy and Erica have to say.
He answered it perfectly. No notes.
I'd say that the first couple of readings has been very much about the people that we whose work we've read, people we've met at readings, friends of ours that we've known from the past, just reaching out to people until we hit four or five people who are free and interested in reading. And actually for the February reading, we each invited two people, expecting that somebody wouldn't be able to make it, but they all said yes. So we're going to have six readers, which is our biggest event yet, and very exciting. And we've got a nice diversity of nonfiction, fiction, poets, a good emphasis on making sure that we have different genres, people of different backgrounds.
We are trying to focus on locals too. For this reading, I'm particularly excited that our anchor reader is going to be Courtney LeBlanc, who was our Fairfax Poet Laureate. She's fantastic, and she came to our readings and was like, "Oh, hey, could I read?" Much like Michael was saying, most of the people who are reading are people who just come to the readings and are like, oh, this is fun. I want to have fun.
Yeah, great. It's been really wonderful speaking with you all about the Fox City Lit reading series. And I do invite all our listeners, if you are in Fairfax City or in the surroundings, or if you're visiting at some point in time, to definitely check it out. It's a really fun event. The readings are great. You get to meet some interesting people and speak to people who are trying to write, writing at some level of success or the other. And yeah, I highly encourage you to come out and to do that and take part in it. Read if you can. How can people get in touch with you all?
Well, we have our website, which is foxcitylit.com. And I'm actually revamping that website right now to add a resources page to help local writers find good connections and other resources, craft instructional guides and things like that that might be useful for aspiring writers. We're also creating a new recurring event that Erica is planning to host as a Wednesday generative workshop, so that on Wednesday evening for a couple of hours to try and meet up with anybody who wants to come and write. We're starting off in Commonwealth downtown with the big picnic tables. Gives the opportunity to sit for a couple of hours, work on some writing, and then you can also email us at foxcitylit, all one word, at gmail.com. Or contact us through the website if you are interested in reading or just attending and want to see when the next reading is going to be and hear a little bit more of that. Our next reading is slated for February 2nd. We are just waiting to confirm the location. And we also do it on a Sunday afternoon to make it a little better for those people who can't travel late in the evening or who have weekday obligations.
And this next one in particular is on February 2nd, Groundhog Day. But it's chosen particularly, and I think this was again one of Michael's brilliant stratagems. It's an off week for football, meaning A, it's easier to book a venue, and B, people who want to watch football on Sundays don't have any to watch on that day. So they could come watch writers be excited about writing.
Yeah, it's the gap between the regular season and the Super Bowl.
I know nothing about football. I don't follow it, but it happened to cross my mind that the Super Bowl was around that time, so I looked it up. Thank you, Google.
Yeah, that sounds great, and I'll definitely plan to be there. So
Yay!
just keep me posted on the location in case it moves, and I'll take
Will
a look at
do.
the
Yep.
website. It's definitely on my calendar.
You have great energy, Carol. I want you to come to like every event, writing, reading. You always bring such chill confidence, and I love it.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm actually really interested also in the Wednesday evening writing, so I'll be looking out for information about that as well.
Sure.
Excellent.
Thank you so much to all of you for coming on to Moonshine Murmurs podcast today and doing an amazing job and having all three of you and it being really clear and lots of fun. I do encourage all of our listeners to come on out to the Fox City Lit reading series. I plan to be there February 2nd, and I'm really looking forward to it. And thank you to all of our listeners for listening to the Moonshine Murmurs podcast. Please subscribe so you'll know when our next podcast becomes available.
Thank you, Carol.
Thanks for having us, Carol. This has been fun.
The Moonshine Murmurs podcast is produced by Stillhouse Press staff in coordination with Watershed Lit. For more episodes and updates, be sure to follow us on Spotify, Twitter, and Instagram. Stillhouse Press is a student-led craft publisher working with George Mason University and Watershed Lit. You can find out more about Stillhouse Press and upcoming releases and events at stillhousepress.org. Thank you for listening.